Hello and welcome to Guy Perryman Interviews. Our travel companion today is Endigo, music producer, pink influencer and RuPaul's Drag Race contestant who lived in Tokyo and was inspired by the city's street fashion, game and anime culture. The conversation took place on the roof in Jingumai, Tokyo in April 2024 and was first broadcast across Japan on my InterFM radio show. Enjoy the journey! It is wonderful to welcome back on board Endigo. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Perryman. Long time no Hisashiburi.
It is so great to see you here back in Tokyo.
It is so great to be back in this fabulous house, no less, you know.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I interviewed you 2 years ago. It was May 2022, just when I launched my podcast. Last week was the 100th interview.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No, look at you go. Congrats.
Before we get to why you're back in Tokyo, sure. I will ask you this question again, because maybe in the last 2 years, the answer has changed. When you're out and about and you meet someone for the first time, they always ask that question, what do you do? What do you say?
Good question. I'm not sure what I said last time, but right now I am a solo musician. That's my main... I make music for myself. I'm a music producer, I guess, technically, but by trade. I'm a music producer. I run my own little music studio in Stockholm, Sweden right now, where I mostly produce mostly metal and mostly for myself as a self-produced metal artist. I try and make it sound like it's a big metal band, but it's really just me on a laptop. And I do that, and I look like a Barbie doll, and I play death metal. And that's my shtick.
I love it. You look like a Barbie doll and you play death metal. Yep. No one else is doing that.
Right? You know, someone's got to be first.
Tell us about the music. You've just recently released the track All Star.
Yes, indeed. So there's a little TV show I was on, RuPaul's Drag Race.
A little show.
Yes, I think a lot of people might be familiar, but for those who don't, it's essentially like a talent competition. You think Project Runway, Top Model, but for drag queens. And it's a very popular show in America. And recently, last year, me being Swedish, there was a show, Drag Race Sweden, a Swedish iteration, of which I was a cast member. I was on the show, and that was crazy fun. There was a talent show episode, and my whole shtick was I did this insane guitar solo on stage. All Star specifically is sort of I don't want to say a diss track, because it's not, but it's my reflections as someone who's been on a talent show, how production often skews reality in favor of drama, and how the individuals, like the contestants on TV shows, how their mental health and, you know, general well-being is sometimes, or in my experience, often down-prioritized in favor of just pure TV entertainment. And, you know, the backside of reality TV, really. So a little tongue-in-cheek, but there's a spin-off of RuPaul's Drag Race called Drag Race All Stars, where they bring back previous fan favorites to compete again. So my song All Star, Drag Race All Stars. Yeah, you can put the pieces together.
How was your experience then on TV?
Well, if you read the lyrics to All Star, you might think I hated it, but it was great. Honestly, it was so amazing. I flew in from, because I lived, you know, in Tokyo at the time during the audition, during the casting, and then for the whole shooting, I flew in. In total secrecy. No one could knew I left Japan, because if they did, they would assume I'm on the show. It was fairly well known that it was filming. So for like the entire shooting, me and my friends in Tokyo, we would set up like fake izakaya photos that I would share. Like, we're having fun eating chicken tonight. And I'm actually in Sweden. So that was a whole thing. But it was extremely eye-opening, very educational. And as far as my career goes, the talent show Guitar Solo specifically has led to it opened so many doors. I got to perform at Stockholm Pride last year, like 30,000 people in the audience, played some of my original metal songs, still dressed as a Barbie doll, met my now management at that show, and they were like blown away by what I did. Yeah, it's just really been like this insanely humbling domino effect of like good things from that show. So I'm extremely thankful for having been on it.
Brilliant. I've hung out with drag queens. I've had time with drag queens backstage at events, and it's always a lot of fun. How was it with all the drag queens? Obviously, there's a level of competition there.
Oh, for sure.
But were you all supportive of each other?
Yeah. Or not. I mean, yes, always a level of competition, but absolutely, especially me coming in. Everyone else sort of already knew each other. Sweden's kind of small. So all the contestants, they all knew each other. And then me from Tokyo, who no one knew. I knew one person there, an old friend. So that was great to have someone to rely on. But no, we were the show is considered to be one of the most wholesome seasons of all of Drag Race because everyone was so friendly and warm. Oh. A lot of viewers were like, "There's no drama. Everyone's just hugging and cheering each other on." So that was great, even with strangers in a competitive environment. It was very like we still looked up to each other, you know, because we know we're gonna have to see each other for dinner after we film.
Right.
So if we're being dicks to each other, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Often when people who've lived in Japan for a few years go back to a home country or go and live overseas somewhere else, have reverse culture shock.
Yeah,
how
absolutely.
Was it going back to Sweden for you? Because I know you loved living in Tokyo.
Absolutely. And by the time I went back, I hadn't been out for 3 years because, you know, COVID and everything. Mm. So, I mean, just stepping into a grocery store again for the first time in Stockholm in 3 years, I remember being amazed looking at the variety of cheeses available.
That's what I miss.
Yeah, same, you know, cheese and sausages, you know, life's little luxuries. It's been great. And more than anything, being able to be close to my parents, you know, as they get older, that's been great to be able to just, you know, spend more time with them, you know, as I'm becoming more adult myself. So it's good. And I like Sweden a lot, you know, having lived there for 20-something years. But it's at a point where Tokyo really is my home, though. Mm-hmm. This is where I have my chosen family, as we say, mm-hmm. and everything. And parents aside, it's strange being away from home while in Sweden now. That's been a bit of an adjustment, you know.
So you went back to Sweden to be on Drag Race, and here you are back in Tokyo. But you're not here for long. You're leaving again. Why did you come this time?
Yeah, so I lived there for 4.5 years. And I moved back to Stockholm last November, really, because of Drag Race and all these new opportunities. So I've been here now for about 3 weeks. My girlfriend Ali's here too. I don't know. Sweden has been, honestly, it's just been so cold. It's been snowing every day since November. It's so dark, so cold. And I was in the apartment. Ali was in America at the time. I was just sitting there day in, day out making music. And I'm like, you know what? I could be doing this in Tokyo instead. Let's go. So I booked a ticket, flew over here, and then just spent 3 weeks in an apartment here making music. Oh. Like just eating kombini food, being like super casual, but like the same routine I would have when I lived here proper 5 months ago. So yeah.
So are you likely to move back here sometime, do you think?
There is no universe in which I don't move back here.
Oh.
So yeah. So absolutely. Sooner rather than later.
Watch this space. I was out on the streets of Harajuku yesterday, and there you were in Omotesando. You know, Sundays in Harajuku, it's the world's coolest runway.
Indeed.
Fashion, dressing up, everything. What do you love about being out on the streets of Tokyo and dressing up?
Tokyo makes me make sense, I feel like. I feel like I'm a weird character on this earth, but in Tokyo, it feels like, at least to myself, I'm like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. I make sense here to a lot of people, even with other drag queens in Stockholm. I'm usually the weird one with the Japan influence and all these things. But when they see photos of me on the streets of Tokyo, suddenly it clicks that, oh, now I get you. Now I get what you're about. And, you know, I have this background of like love for Japanese pop culture since always, with video games and music especially. Mm. It's a way for my brain to make myself feel like I have somewhere I belong that I never knew I missed until I came here. Mm. You know?
When I did interview you 2 years ago, you said that you'd only just fairly recently admitted to yourself and to the people around you that you identified as non-binary.
Yeah, indeed.
And that journey is continuing, I believe.
Oh, is it ever?
Tell me more.
Well, I very publicly came out as non-binary also. I mean, later on Drag Race Sweden, there was a whole scene in which I talked about that. And I talked about maybe being transgender. And I recently came out as transgender. And frankly, even 2 years ago, this interview, I knew. But it was a little, I grew up in like the hoods in Stockholm around a lot of homophobia, a lot of like gay people being the butt of every joke I was raised to laugh at, and a lot of transphobia and a lot of stuff like that. So it's been 3 decades of knowing the truth and figuring out a way to not get bullied by my peers for it, which I absolutely haven't been now. But, you know, you don't know, you know, until you do it. But yeah, I'm publicly out as trans since around December, January-ish. And as of right now, I guess big Guy Perriman exclusive scoop, I'm 2.5 months on HRT even.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you are transitioning.
I very much am. I have a lot of shit going on down there.
I can see it. Yeah. You know, you're wearing a very big t-shirt.
Yeah, but I'm trying to stay casual, you know, but...
How long does this journey take? When do you feel like you'll be fully how you feel like you are inside?
I have no idea. Mm. But I can tell you that one of the big wake-up calls was definitely on Drag Race, when like taking the makeup off and just realizing that I found myself with the producers like, okay, time to take off the makeup. And I'm like, do I have to? You know, I don't like what I see in the mirror without it. And I think I'm already noticing, like, my face is a teeny tiny bit softer. So every day it gets a little bit easier to look at myself without the makeup. Mm. And I think, I mean, I don't have all the answers, but I feel every week that passes, I notice myself being happier. And not just the cosmetic parts, you know, that's all great, like seeing your body change. But mostly I feel like the medication side of it, it's really fixed my brain.
Really?
It's like a fog has been lifted that I never knew was there. I'm able to think more clearly. I'm able to just focus more. And I think I've just had this chemical imbalance all my life that just now apparently is fixed thanks to, you know, the medication. Mm. So again, the cosmetics is a very nice bonus, absolutely. But, you know, but that has really been like, wow. Like, I've written some of the best music of my life since starting medication. And I think I owe it in no small part thanks to it. So I'm so thankful to just, you know, live in a timeline where this is an option.
Mm. How I saw you dressed yesterday, is it the real you when you really go for it, when you dress up as you look in the anime in your videos?
Yeah.
That's like taking your look to a complete extreme.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. I'm going for the full Barbie experience.
Yeah, I love it. So is that, do you feel like that's the real you, or is it dress-ups? In the early days, people just say, oh, you're just doing cosplay. Do you feel like a drag queen? I'm really curious about how you feel.
Yeah. I have never, shout out to all my Drag Race fans, I have never considered myself a drag queen, and I never will. But through drag, I was able to experiment, and it was a way for me to figure myself out. And I'm so thankful for the experience. Right now, I think it's about going from a full 2-hour drag queen makeup phase and like reducing it bit by bit and still feeling comfortable. How low can I go? And I mean, it is part costume, you know, there's hip padding and all these things going on. But that's when I feel like I am myself. And you know, you'll notice I'm growing out my long blonde hair for real.
Look at that.
So I'm trying to just be that without all the, I don't want it to be drag. I just want it to be me.
You.
And I know it's hard. I know I'm extremely tall, wide shoulders, big jaw, but technology has come a long way. So we'll see. One day at a time, just right now. I'm just enjoying my life.
Did you dress up when you were very young, when you were a kid?
Yes. Mostly, you know, in secret. I always wanted to, you know. I mean, okay, another Guy Perriman scoop.
Oh.
My mom accused me when I was young of stealing and destroying her lipsticks. I'm like, no, it wasn't me. I would never do that. It was me. It was always me.
Oh.
She knows. I know. But I always denied it. But it was me. It's like the cliche origin story, but it really was like that.
Mm.
But again, I grew up with very little gay friends, very little tolerance for like LGBTQ people in general. Again, in the hoods of Stockholm. So it was a hard thing to cope with, especially because everyone saw me as this cool rocker dude. And I've always been bad at standing up for my own. Like, if people think I'm a cool rock dude, I don't want to disappoint them by not being that.
Oh.
And it's a character I've become very good at playing. But it's really always been a character, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Right now, it's just about letting go of the character. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. But it's...
I was going to say, are you going to miss that Endigo?
He's,
or not?
He was great. But he's, you know, he's retired. You know, I still have the same voice. I still do the same metal.
Yeah.
I'm still going to sing the same way.
You get to live two lives.
Exactly.
How
well,
cool.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully I can merge it, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Find a middle ground somehow.
How about girlfriend, family? What's the reaction from everyone?
I mean, in general, I'd say it's been pretty much 100% positivity. Some people are more understanding than others. Some parts of my family are more tolerant and open-minded than others, but no one's hating on it. And I think to a lot of my old friends from back in the day who might be less tolerant or even understanding of LGBTQ things, the way that I'm now transitioning, they think it's a little bit weird. But like the fact that I have a biologically female partner, I get the sense of like, oh, thank God, you're not too weird, you know, which that's a whole other can. I'm not even going to get into that.
Right.
But anything that makes my family cope, I'll take it for now. Oh. You know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
You mentioned about being in the hood in Sweden and growing up and you know, homosexuals were only there either on TV or in film, just like my childhood too, to either be laughed at, to be attacked, or to die from AIDS.
Indeed.
No such thing as a happy homosexual. But I think now in the 21st century, how amazing and how wonderful and how brilliant the world has changed, not for everybody and not everywhere, but certainly for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You can now talk. You now know you have peers. You now know there are people out there just like you, more or less.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
And does that help you?
It does. And especially me being me, because even, again, going back to the drag race thing, I do stand out in that show too, and with the way I look and the way I present myself and the cosplay influence. And I've noticed after the show, like, I've gotten so many messages from people, like, it's like, just thank you for representing on TV, like, what I feel, like, and being someone that I can, like, relate to. And I know me growing up, had I had Drag Race Sweden when I was a kid, and had I had me or someone like me to look at, I would probably have been a very different person way earlier. So, but you know, it's just fun to be able to, like, hopefully, you know, inspire the next wave of rock stars and Barbie dressed metalheads, you know, anything like that. Anything to make the world just a bit more, you know, interesting place. You know, I'm happy to play a small part.
You're here in Tokyo the week of Tokyo Rainbow Pride, but you're going to miss it. You're leaving before it all happens.
Yeah, sadly. Oh, Lord, I did not know it was now. I've told him, because I forget they do it in, like, April here.
Yeah. Inter FM, the radio station I'm with, we're official media for Pride, which I love too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Congrats.
Yeah, no, it's great. So I've got all sorts of fun stuff happening this week. Inter FM's catchphrase is "Find your colors," and it's to encourage people to literally find their color. Yeah. It's about gender, it's about diversity, it's about finding your color in life. Indigo, you have found your color.
Look at
the pink.
Look at the pink.
Have you always loved pink?
I have. Yeah. I mean, again, not to do the cliches, but as a kid, when I went to the toy store with my mom and dad, we would all go to the video game section, but I just wanted to look at the Barbie toys, and I never did because I didn't want to be seen as queer, you know, being taught that it's a bad thing, not necessarily by my parents, but I've always been leaning more and more colorful. The older, the more confident I've gotten. Honestly, it's big thanks to Allison, my partner, who's also like a pink influencer. We knew each other from Instagram. I mean, she had like 3 times my follower count at the time. So I was like looked up to her being this pink influencer, and she sort of inspired me to dare and push more pink. And then we just happened to meet in Tokyo, and now we're apparently a couple of 2 years. So that's great for
Yay.
Me, you know? And that's also been cool, both in Harajuku, but also in Sweden, being the pink couple on the streets or at parties. It's a very paparazziable moment. And that's just been fun. People just love seeing confident people, even in the grocery stores in Stockholm. People come up to us every day and like, wow, you guys just are so cool. Like, elderly people, like, oh, you guys inspire me to want to do things, like seeing how outgoing and confident you two are, you know. So that's been, again, like mini change in society.
I wanted to ask you about that because, again, yesterday in Harajuku, where anything goes, and I've always loved the sense of freedom here in Tokyo, especially, and when it comes to fashion and gender. But how about for you going back to Sweden again? Is there that sense of freedom too?
I'd say compared to a lot of other places, probably, yeah. Coming from Tokyo, it feels like a step down for sure, but what would not be, you know, compared to Tokyo? Sweden has been getting a little bit more unsafe in recent years. There's gangs, there's car burning, stuff like that. It's not the end of the world, but it's worse than it was. So I'm definitely a bit more like on high alert when I'm out and about, because we dress up there too. I do the full Barbie look there too. And it's been, you know, so far only positivity. But I notice myself looking over my shoulder more than I do in Tokyo. So still more safe to do that there than, you know, somewhere else, maybe in Eastern Europe, let's say. I might not be as confident, you know. But it's fun. And Sweden has always been very ahead of the curve of the world with, you know, LGBTQ rights. I think we were one of the first countries to legalize same-sex marriage, some trans rights. So to be able to contribute back to that, it feels like so cool, really.
Back to Tokyo and find your colors in the radio station. Yeah. So if anyone listening is trying to find themselves, trying to find their color in life, what would you say to someone? Because it took you, what you said, 3 decades to really...
It really did. And Tokyo's where it all happened. Just the openness here, you know. No matter how you look, no matter where you go. Like, I couldn't go into, like, a dingy cigar bar dressed as a Barbie. And, you know, no one's going to throw me out, you know. No one's going to punch me. Whoever you are and whatever you want to do, especially when it comes to style and aesthetics, if you want to experiment, you can be whoever and whatever you want to be here. Not just in Tokyo, but, like, Osaka, too. Like, we go there all the time. It's a great place. I'd say it's probably one of the, if not the best place on earth, maybe, to be someone else and be something new, if you want to try that. And give it a shot. Give it a week. Be anonymous. Be yourself. Be whatever you want to be. And if it doesn't work out, if you don't like it, no harm done. Go back home and be whatever, you know. It's a great place to just find yourself.
Is there one thing about Japan I might have asked you before, but let's ask again because it's 2 years down the track.
Sure.
You might have even answered the question, but is there one thing about Japan, tangible or intangible, that you love about Japan that you'd love to share with the world that maybe they don't know about?
You give me these big questions on my toes. I like it. I'll say what I miss is the diversity. I miss that in Sweden. Sweden is extremely diverse in some ways, but in terms of fashion, in terms of eccentric fashion, especially if you're more into like dressing more extravagant or flamboyant or like psychedelic colors, stuff like that, you see those things on the streets here and it's sort of accepted. It's not strange to see one with purple, massive purple spiky hair on the subway, on the bus. Like the lady who brought me my food at the restaurant the other day had like long purple hair. You see that in Sweden, you see that in Europe, but it's people don't really bat an eye here. It's strangely normal. It's weird, but it's mostly like great. Like no one's gonna like shoo you for it, I think. You see more eccentric people. Like in Stockholm, if we go to like the town square and we see 2,000 people, 1,999 of those will wear like a black jacket, black jeans, and like have short hair. And that's it.
Here I am.
Yeah, but even your shirt is like, that would be like crazy in Stockholm, you know? Whereas like, you know, here, like us two walking around, me and Ali being all pink, like people are like, oh, whatever. You know, because they see 1,000 pink people a day.
Every day.
Know? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So you blend in more. So if you're really about like, give me the attention, yeah, you might not get it as much here. But if you turn that into like, well, actually, I can be anonymous here if I want to. Like, that's how you win. And that I not necessarily want to spread, but I wish people would just come here and just get a glimpse of it. Try it. Come here for a week and just try it. You know.
I have to thank you once again, Indigo, for the music tracks you produced for me.
Thank you. Together. Thank you. Again.
It's been happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. I'm a pumpkin. I forgot about that one.
My radio show Singing Jingle, which gets aired every week.
Yes. That one, yeah.
Power of music. I might need more in the future, please.
I'm down. I'll say this. My mixing skills in general are like miles beyond what they were back then.
Oh.
So
it worked so quickly. That's what I thought was amazing. I remember sending you my demo idea.
Yeah.
And I think the next day you came back with a completed track. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Well, my philosophy has always been to like, I want to get good, but it's more important for me to be fast. So I started fast and sloppy. And then it's like, okay, how do I keep the speed of production while increasing the skill? And I think now I'm finally at a point where I can produce thing that sounds, you know, major level while still doing my speed. There's a lot of producer friends who are as good as me, some of them way better, but they all take like 10 times the time to do it. So my like signature ace up my sleeve is just my speed. So I take great pride in that. So I appreciate that specific compliment.
Yeah. Speaking of music, and I always ask people about the power of music, and we did write that song, The Power of Music.
We did.
I know you're making music and I know you love music, and your music career and your trajectory is just going through the roof, which into the heavens, which is amazing.
Well, fingers crossed, you know.
Has music and does music continue to get you through the tough times in life?
Absolutely, absolutely. Music is everything, really. And I've dabbled in different things, you know. I've dabbled in video game production and, you know, this short stunt as a drag queen. But it all really comes down to music. It's what I want to do and it's what gets me through the days. And when I came back to Tokyo like a couple of weeks ago, like the first night, I just walked out into Nakano and it was pouring down. And I just put on like some songs that I would do night walks to like last year when I lived here proper. And I just put on a song and I just looked at the like rain, and within like 5 seconds I was like pouring tears down my cheeks because of all the everything just hitting me, you know. The power of music, you know, it's incredible, you know. And you know better than anyone. So yeah, that's,
well, you do what I can't do. You make the music and I just play it on the radio, which,
well,
I love.
Yeah, but you conduct interviews. I can do that. I mean, not at this caliber.
You're a good
for
talker.
Now.
You're a good talker, though.
Oh, thank you. I try to match your energy.
Last question. What happens in the future?
This year is really about like trying to just pursue this like proper solo rock musician thing in Sweden. So I'm putting together a band. They're going to be my session band. I'm going to be the pink Barbie in the middle, and they're all going to be like the like all gothic, like as if they're my technicians, and I'm like their little like Barbie creation. So we have a full like concept going with that. So we have some festivals booked for the summer, hopefully some touring towards the fall. I'm still doing some work for like video games here, doing like these little like singing for animes, doing little voiceovers like you've done too. Don't get a lot of that in Sweden, so that I do miss. So hopefully just more of everything, more music, more of the good stuff, you know.
Yay.
Yeah,
keep on making it.
Yeah, well, as long as you keep on playing it,
keep on being beautiful and perfect and pink.
You too.
Indigo,
be pinker.
Be pinker, I love it. It's been so fab to catch up with you. Thank you so much, Indigo.
Yeah, thank you for having me again. And I'll see you in another 2 years. See where we're at.
No, before then.
We can do a follow-up. I'll be coming back this year for sure, a couple times.
Great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great time here in Tokyo. I know you got to go.
Yes, well, I'm catching a plane in hours.
Oh, my God. Go.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us today. For more interviews and information, please go to guyperryman.com.